visibility was measured on a scale, and that they actually had different, like, feet distances of visibility, and that's how they rated stuff. So I have all of these jabronis coming into my mentions, and they're all telling me about how many feet of visibility I actually have in my picture versus me saying zero visibility. And
I mean, I'm looking at your picture now, and I can see cars that are tens of feet away, man. And I think
right.
You
know, oh yeah.
You need to be appropriately shamed about your visibility comment here.
Sure. I understand. I learned my lesson tonight. That's what I get for going off and popping off at the mouth about the level of visibility I had. I was on the I-17 freeway, and there were cars that were at a complete stop in multiple lanes, without traffic backing them up. It was literally just because we couldn't see, and I think people thought the safest thing to do would be just to come to a complete stop, even though that is absolutely foolish and ridiculous.
Well, if there's a shoulder or something to pull off on, like,
right.
Maybe, or
no. Don't get me wrong. Yes, the people that pulled over to the side of the road, those people, but to the smattering, you know, half dozen people, at least in my short trip home, that just stopped where they were at in the lane they were, that shit seems dangerous as hell to me. But anyway, I know
the I-17 is a narrow freeway too. There's not a lot of wiggle room there. You're in pretty tight.
Right.
In those lanes, you got a concrete rail on both sides and not a lot of spot to pull over.
But I'm sure I come off as being mad because I retweeted a bunch of the guys that like sent stuff to me about it, but I'm really not. It literally just was making me laugh so much that I felt the need that I had to share it. Like, I just thought it was funny that there's a half mile of visibility. Well, there's easily 100 feet of visibility. Well, there's this distance of visibility. I'm like, really, guys? This is what you do with your time. Because my tweet got picked up in a moment. Your time is spent going onto it and mocking the person for a tweet about weather. It's wild stuff. Wild
yeah,
stuff.
Man. Yeah, all of those people went to school to study meteorology, and a lot of people don't realize that you have to know calculus for that.
Oh, right. Right. Absolutely. And that's the last thing I'm going to fucking do. I'm not doing that math in my head.
The thing is that you don't know the calculus. You're not doing the calculus in your head. Those guys, they're looking at the photo, doing the calculus. They have all the information. And the information that they don't know, they can just model that using the same calculus, all in one spreadsheet. They've done the math. They know.
My neighbor's tree fell on their house during the storm.
I saw that. That was crazy.
It's been wild. It was wild for a short period of time. Like, I couldn't let my daughter out of the car until, like, I got the garage door closed and that kind of stuff. You know, like, It didn't last very long. It's one of those microbursts, but it was, you know, it was pretty wild. And the only thing I could do as a father was to tell my daughter how much fun it was and that it was like a video game so that she wouldn't be scared. And it worked significantly well on the way home.
You're going to get some pedantic replies now saying that it was not a microburst.
Oh,
because microbursts are confined to a small area.
God damn it. We're going to have to edit all of this out of the podcast. I can't even have this conversation in the podcast.
You're going to have to cut that. I know. Have you ever done it? Have you ever gotten pedantic because you felt, you just felt the need?
Yeah. I feel like Daryl brings out the worst in me when it comes to that. I feel like when I hang out with Daryl, then I start correcting people that are like farther down on the intelligence scale than me because I'm downstream from Daryl.
So Daryl knows everything.
Daryl knows everything. So he mocks me.
I don't
want to
say this in like a mocking way, like, oh, Daryl knows everything. But like Daryl knows a lot of stuff.
Daryl's so smart.
Daryl's, because I know I retain a lot of trivia, but Daryl is a level above me.
It's not even fun to play trivia with Daryl. Let's be honest.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, yeah, you like it because you get the free shit at the end of the night without having
well,
to do
no,
anything. That's
I
why
like
you
it.
Like it, Tim.
I like it because one time during the game of trivia, I will know the answer like I'll be the guy who knows the answer, and to just be at the table with Daryl and be the guy who knows the answer.
It feels so good, doesn't it? Yeah. Like he looked at me on like a couple of sports questions one time, and it made me feel good. I don't think I knew the answers. I think I let him down. But yeah, it at least felt good that he went there with it, you know. Anyway,
I wanted to talk about a different corner of Twitter. I wanted to talk about snack Twitter. Just to give another quick shout out to our friend of the program, Eden Falwell, inventor of the Cherry Cola Oreo. The voting period is closed, so now we just have to sit back while Mondelez tabulates the votes and hope that she wins the $500,000, even though her Oreo didn't rate the highest in the purr system.
Oof. You know, I don't do this to hurt people's feelings, Tim. I don't. I prefer to not have the creators of these delicious snacks, whether they're a 1 or a 10, listen to me call them terrible things. Because we've done that in the past. I believe I called the Cherry Cola Oreos an abomination. She likes to remind me of that.
I said they were the uncanny valley of flavor. Mm-hmm. That was what I said. No. But the cookie, really, like, I respect it for being an Icarus, for getting so close and crashing and burning so hard.
I still feel like the Pina Colada got slighted in that whole competition. I had a couple of those today, and I still find them to be delicious. But
Oreo Thins deserve no glory.
I can't with the Oreo Thin. I just can't. I think Eden has a good chance, because I want to throw the kettle corn ones away in the trash. I've tried with them. I even think we might have rated them the highest potentially, but that's purely based.
You rated them the highest.
Oh, right. Well, that's purely based on the fact that they just taste like a normal Oreo when it comes down to it. But now I have them in one of those like airtight containers, so when I open it up, that kettle corn smell really just punches you right in the face. Yeah, and I don't like that. So I can't get past that to actually eat the cookies. It's the only one I still have a significant amount left of.
So I was back home visiting my family, and this is the interaction with Eden that I had on Twitter. I chewed some gum. I asked my mom for some gum because I'd eaten some onions or something like that. I just wanted to get that flavor out. And she's like, well, I have this gum. I don't like it. Maybe you'll like it. Your sister got it or something, and gives me a pack of this gum called Dentine Ice Sub-Zero Serious Cold. And the flavor of this gum can only be described as Vicks VapoRub. It is just an uncanny Vicks VapoRub flavor. And so, you know, of course I have to tweet, you know, just in case our viewers are paying attention to my Twitter, that this gum tastes like VapoRub. And Eden replies, my grandfather used to use Vicks for everything! ! New Oreo !
You guys need to stop it. I don't like the two of you. I don't like the two of you knowing each other and interacting like this. I don't like it. I don't approve of this relationship and where it could go. Because if we get Vicks VapoRub Oreos, I will kill one of the two of you. And I don't know where Eden lives. And she's probably going to be like, what is it? $1 million? $500,000?
$500,000. Eden's going to win this contest. She's going to be our woman on the inside. She's going to burn Mondelez down.
No.
With the VapoRub Oreo.
No.
Oh, come on. You don't think one Oreo could destroy a multinational conspiracy? I think a Vicks VapoRub Oreo might have that power.
I think she could do it. I think she could be a mole for us. But she's not going to do that. She's not going to do that, Tim. She's going to have that sweet Mondelez cash in her pocket. She's going to be a celebrity now. She's going to be going on talk shows. Watch. She's going to go on Ellen. You know she's going to go on Ellen.
She posted an animated GIF, and I'm saying GIF just to make Schlag smile because I know he's listening.
He makes me say that now too.
Yeah. He's in charge here. Of a finger just like getting a dab of VapoRub out of the tub.
Gross.
It loops itself, and every time the finger takes that dab, I just imagine that dab just being smeared on an Oreo. Oreo cookie.
I do not approve of this relationship that you guys have. I am not a fan of it, and I do not want to see this cookie ever come to life, ever. But you did say you were in St. Louis. that's fun. That's a better place to be, I feel like, than right now, where we are with the storm attacking us and the heat attacking us. I feel like this is, at least this week, before it starts to cool down a little bit post-monsoon, I feel like this is like the worst time of the year to be in Arizona.
It was kind of a rude awakening. It wasn't a very nice welcome coming back to monsoon weather, to the wall of dust coming in from the west, or from the east, actually. Yeah. Don't at me.
Don't. Yeah, it's too late.
Don't at me on the weather.
You're wrong, and they're going to. You're going to get 16 tweets about the direction it was actually coming from.
Mine was one of my favorite podcasters, John Roderick, who does the podcast Roderick on the Line with Merlin Mann. He told a whole story about snorkeling and about this sea creature he encountered, which he kept calling a tortoise. And a tortoise is like the land animal, you know, like in the water, the ones that are in the water, turtles.
Right.
It's kind of like the difference between a frog and a toad. It's you know.
It's minor, but it's probably going to drive some people insane.
Yeah.
Listening to him call a sea animal a tortoise.
Right. Yeah. So I had to go tweet about it. I had to just make sure he knew. Yeah. And he reminded
you,
he's like,
you did that.
He's like, you know, of all of the zoologists who listen to our program, then you're the only one who felt the need to point out that it was not, in fact, a tortoise.
Oh, wow. It was just you.
Just me.
Did you tell him you're a zoo enthusiast and not necessarily a zoologist? Because you did not go to school for zoology.
I do like to go to the Phoenix Zoo. They have a very nice...
That doesn't matter. Yeah, that makes you a zoo enthusiast. You did not go to school. You can't go around calling yourself some sort of ologist without actually having put in the work, Tim.
Right, and I didn't. I simply identified myself as a guy who likes to hang around the orangutan enclosure, and when people say to their kids, "Look at the monkey, honey," I like to say, "Ma'am, those are apes. These animals are apes. Monkeys have tails."
Wow.
Yeah, get it right.
You're a garbage person. But people like you.
Important work.
Yeah, no. Well, people like you. Are you know who likes you? Is our viewers like you?
Oh.
Someone polled them, and apparently you're definitely the favorite on this podcast.
There was a poll?
Yeah. There was a vote taken.
I didn't even know I would have voted.
Yeah, well, because I didn't want you to... Right, yeah. I didn't want you to campaign against me. I didn't think that would be right. I thought that would drive a wedge between us, so I decided not to include you in that information.
I would have retweeted it out.
You.
I would have made my whole campaign like, "Hey, vote for Tim," and then somehow like Sprung would have won.
Right, right. Well, that's not exactly the way it went. Unfortunately, you won in a landslide. So I'm not very happy with our viewers, but I still will welcome them into episode 37 of Derek and Tim Eat Snacks.
Derek and Tim eat snacks on the internet.
Just wiping away this single tear. This is the happiest moment of my life.
Nah. You know, take this victory for now. You know, it's a shallow victory because it's based on, you know, popularity and, you know, voice quality. And apparently I scream a lot. I don't know. It's not, people weren't very nice about this, but, needless to say, you're easily the favorite here, and people are interested to hear about you going back home to St. Louis, because I think everybody wants to know, what do you do when you go to St. Louis?
I like to just go to St. Louis and play the hits. I like to get the stuff there that I can't get here. So immediately I make my family take me to White Castle, which is not really a St. Louis thing, but we don't have it here in Arizona unless you count the frozen ones in the grocery store, which you can actually buy like at the snack bar at the movie theater, but it's just the same frozen ones that they microwave.
Yeah, it is. It's bullshit. It's not real.
There's a way to heat up the frozen ones in the oven where you like put them on a broiler pan, put a little water on the bottom of the pan, you know, put the burgers on the rack and then wrap it tightly in foil. Like that'll make them good. You don't want to put them in the microwave.
Yeah.
But I just lost track. I like to get some St. Louis style pizza. I got to introduce our friend Brian to St. Louis style pizza, which I was very happy to do.
Did he go with you?
Emo's Pizza. No, he just randomly was visiting his grandfather who lives in a part of like western central Illinois that just happens to be closest. Where St. Louis just happens to be the closest airport to where Brian's grandfather lives, and he was visiting him the same weekend and was on my return flight.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, that type of stuff never happens. Of course, Brian was on a plane with like Tommy Wiseau one time, so.
Yes. Yeah. Those amazing stories. Brian has the best stories. I love him, and our Steel Cage listeners miss you, Brian. Yeah. I know he doesn't listen to his podcast, so I feel like talking to him, but I know that he's not really listening, so that seems silly. He's not a fan of the show like I know Daryl is. Daryl's going to appreciate that conversation we had earlier about him.
I hope so. I think he's too modest, I think. He'll be like, no, guys, you know, come on.
Come on.
Come on, guys.
I'm only a little bit smarter than you, not as much as you guys embellished, right?
Yeah, it's not a whole level, but 75% of a level.
What else do you do, though? Like, I don't know, man. We're going to Austin for Schlag's bachelor party. Unfortunately, I know you can't make it, and it makes me sad. I know Sprung, who you brought up earlier, was excited as hell to meet you in person.
Aww.
So that's going to have to wait until the Royal Rumble next year. But in Austin, the first thing I thought when Josh wanted to go there is, what are we going to do in Austin? Right? And it's amazing to me when you look into a town like that, how much there really is to do once you start kind of unraveling what the town is about. And in this case, Austin is like weird. Like, what's St. Louis mostly about? Like, it seems like a baseball town to me, but I'm basing that mostly on the Cardinals.
I don't even 100% know what St. Louis is about because I'm not really from St. Louis. I lived in Fairview Heights, Illinois, is where I grew up, and went to high school in Belleville, Illinois. And one thing that I know St. Louis is about that I've learned from talking to everyone from there is that where you went to high school like really matters to people.
That's weird.
Especially people from St. Louis.
It's such a like now as I'm 37 years old. I'm old as fuck, and I can't even fathom the importance of high school. I laugh when people from my high school want to befriend me now, people who never ever had any interest in even knowing who I was at the time, and now based on a slight connection from our past want to like, you know, reach out to me in some way. And I'm not trying to sound like a conceited dick about it, because most of the time I'm totally cool with it. But it just kind of is funny to me, because high school is such a drop in the bucket, yet it seems so it seems so important, you know, leading up to it and at the time. It's just so funny to me when anybody holds any kind of importance. I have a couple of friends who still keep up with, like, their high school football team and what their current record is. It's so sad to me. I mean, like, if you had a little brother or something that's on the team, different story. But when you're just keeping up on that shit, God, get a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, but also, I think people should go to the class reunions, and I say that because I am president of my senior class, my high school senior class, because I always win popularity contests. The real reason is because I gave out a whole bunch of Krispy Kreme donuts the morning of the election. It was like back when Krispy Kreme was new, and it was a real novelty to get those donuts, and it was really damn good.
Son of a bitch.
Right?
You bought that election.
It was a diabolical plan to buy the election.
You bought the election. Wow.
Yep. And the girl who would have beat me, she's a friend of mine. She's a doctor now. I actually was hanging out with her husband when I went back to town. We had a beer. But I bet she's very happy that she doesn't have to plan these class reunions. Like, she wanted it so bad back then, and now I bet she's just like, ha, so glad not doing that.
So you have to do that now?
Yeah.
Oh, Tim.
Even though I don't live there, we had a really nice 10-year reunion. It was cool.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I'm just not included in that stuff, but I'm pretty sure, because my 20-year reunion is coming up next year, and I imagine that, you know, I'll be reached out to sometime soon, but I don't know. There was chatter of a 10-year reunion, like of meeting at a bar, and that's about it.
Yeah, I've heard 20 is supposed to be like the one, but I don't really know, because I think that our, millennials are killing class reunions. I don't know if anybody's written this article yet. I should query BuzzFeed about this. Like, hey, can I write the article?
I'm rolling my eyes as hard as I possibly can right now. I can't roll them any harder, Tim.
Yeah. But we can stay in touch with our high school friends. We can see, we're already tired of hearing about their kids before we've even seen their stupid faces in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yeah. Well, you guys kind of suck like that. Yeah. All that said,
I'm like super excited when they get so bogged down with family stuff. We took the kids to Six Flags St. Louis, which is an amusement park I just love. The kids were terrible. But they did win big at carnival games. And so, if any of our viewers remember me going on and on about the stuffed animal problem, we now have many more stuffed animals that I had to carry home in a suitcase.
Ugh.
Yeah. But it's hard to be mad about it, because it's not like this is just some dumb Easter present. It's like, you earned this.
Oh yeah. Thora killed it. Thora got everybody Pokemon from what I saw. Yeah, that's impressive. I mean,
never mind how much money we spent on wiffle balls to roll into cups, but
like, sure.
She won every hand that she got, every round of balls she got at least a couple in the prize cups. Yeah,
it's not easy.
Mm-mm. I couldn't do it. I think being smaller gives you an advantage in that game.
Those were decent prizes too, man. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you kind of see garbage prizes, but yeah. That was not the case.
They had Rick and Morty stuff. They had Mr. Poopy Butthole giant plushies.
Fantastic. I hope you brought one home.
I'm just like, that's not appropriate. No, I couldn't win one. My kids didn't want like Rick and Morty.
Oh, that makes me sad. But you know who went? You know who did win? Is we won. I won.
Oh, you won. I had to put in work for this week's snack.
Yeah, this week's snack is a win for me. Because you brought back a special treat, and I'm ready to let our viewers, and I know, damn it, Tim.
I've been calling them viewers this whole time.
I know, but I know they're not viewers. I get that. You don't have to beat me over the head with it, but I'd like to welcome our viewers into this week's snack. Gooey butter cake.
Oh man, yeah, and this is so all the time that I lived in the St. Louis area, I don't think I ever purchased a gooey butter cake. You can, and there's a lot of places to do it, but for the most part, it's something that some family member bakes for you and brings to a potluck, or for your birthday or something like that.
I don't even know what these are. I've never even heard of this.
Easy cake to make. I think I want to call this like part two of our two. No, our 50-part series, United Cakes of America.
Yeah, we got to do the United Cakes of America. God bless America and all of America's cakes. Our first cake being the very important, very American king cake from Louisiana with the tiny baby inside.
We're taking a steam-powered paddle boat up the Mississippi River to St. Louis, where we're getting the St. Louis gooey butter cake.
I just love the name of it. I just love the name gooey butter cake because it just it hits all the right notes for me. Like gooey is like the opposite word of moist for me. Moist is gross. Gooey is fantastic. It's appetizing. It's delicious. And I like any cake named gooey butter cake. But then I saw this and I was a little disappointed. It wasn't as gooey as I thought it was going to be. But I don't know what's inside, so I can't speak on that. It's a type of cake, so I am ignorant to this cake. This isn't even like a specific brand of cake that I'm just trying where I've had it before. This is a whole new genre of cake for me. And I am a cake aficionado. You know that. I aced cakery and baked goods at the Snack Institute. But this is very exciting to me. This is something regional I love regional snacks. I love stuff that we do on this podcast that those of you listening get sad about because you know that you can't have it. You can't eat along on this one unless you're in the St. Louis area. And are some of our viewers in the St. Louis area? I don't know.
I think so. Didn't we get mailed a whole bunch of Red Hot Riplets? Have you been eating all the Red Hot Riplets?
Oh, Tim, I ate so many Red Hot Riplets. Red Hot Riplets is for me, it's the Cadillac of potato chip. And I will do anything. I would cut you for a Red Hot Riplet right now.
I also learned when visiting a convenience store that the makers of Red Hot Riplets are putting Red Hot Riplet flavor into just about everything they can think of.
That sounds fantastic.
They have like a corn nut type of thing that is Red Hot Riplet flavored. They have a corn chip. They have a cheese Red Hot Riplet.
Oh my God, give it to me.
Yeah, but this gooey butter cake is from a bakery called Gooey Louie in St. Louis. And I don't know St. Louis well enough to even tell you what neighborhood it's in.
Why were you in St. Louis? Why were you in St. Louis again?
Well, on this particular day, I took my kids to a place called the City Museum in St. Louis. And
No. You know, I get it. You were on a vacation of sorts. Is that it? Like, what was the driving force behind you being in St. Louis besides going to this stuff that you went to? Is that just it?
Oh, yeah. Just taking the kids home to see my mom and dad, really. My brother and sister. They all live there. I have a lot of family back there. Okay. Yeah. It was just a family visit. You know, we did some fun stuff. Gotcha.
I guess my confusion was where, like, you didn't grow up there and you don't know anything about it. And I'm talking to you like as if you are somebody who knows
everything. I didn't spend a lot of time in the city because I grew up on the suburbs on the Illinois side, you know, where we were kind of contained in our own area. Like, I'd go to St. Louis to go to a Cardinals game or to go to a concert or something like that. Or to shop at like the St. Louis Galleria, which was the nicer mall because our mall didn't have like all the best stores.
Gotcha. How far was it for you?
It's just about like 30 minutes. Not far.
Okay. I get you. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, this particular day we were at the St. Louis, the City Museum of St. Louis, which is basically this giant, ridiculous and completely unsafe playground. That's built out of an old like 10-story shoe factory. Everything about it is completely bananas, and I would encourage our viewers to look it up and research it for themselves. And if you're ever near St. Louis, to go there. We left early because this bakery, Gooey Louie, was closing at 5 o'clock. My mom has to drive like a bat out of a hell. I get there at 4:59, walk in the door. This place smells amazing, and it's completely empty. All the lights are off. There's no product. There's just like some empty boxes. And after 30 seconds or so, this old lady walks out, tells me that they're all sold out of cakes.
Oh no.
I'm just sitting there like no. And she's like, yeah, like, you know, we sell out pretty early on the weekends. Usually we sold out about an hour ago or something like that. So I'm just sitting there like, oh, like I did all the, you know, there's because they weren't open on Sunday. It was on Saturday. And I just kind of stood there like, is there anything you could possibly do? And she after a minute of kind of trying to shoo me away, she was like, actually, you know what? I got one guy who called in an order for one cake and he was supposed to pick it up at 4. It's 5 now. I'm closing up. He's obviously not going to get the cake. I'll sell it to you.
Oh, my God.
This is the last cake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's serendipity that we got this cake. This cake needed to be picked, eaten, and raided. We didn't even pick this cake. This cake picked us, Tim.
It did. It really did.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to eat it now. I mean, I was excited before, but that's just based on the fact that it was called Gooey Butter Cake. Now that I know that this is like the chosen cake, holy shit.
Yeah, so I don't want to tell you too much more about Gooey Butter Cake or its style.
Mm-hmm. Until we put it in our faces.
Yeah, we should definitely dig in.
Oh God, yes. Can we please? I know sometimes we don't get to the snack usually this early, but I'm ready for it. Let's do this.
I don't know how far along we are on the podcast now because I don't know where the clock is on Skype anymore.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I'll handle that. Let's eat some cake.
All right, come close. Let me show you everything I know. A jungle slang. Spinning round my head and I stand. While my naked fool, fresh out.
Oh my God, Tim. Mm.
Yeah, this is not, this is a good representation, I think, of what gooey butter cake is all about.
Where's this cake been my whole life?
I was trying to figure out if there was one place that was widely known as the best gooey butter cake in St. Louis, but I don't think there's any kind of consensus. I think a lot of people make gooey butter cake, and I think they're all very good.
It's so simple. I mean, it really is. It's so simple, but it's so good.
It's really simple. And you can make it. You can make it yourself. I think maybe I'll have to share my family recipe. I don't think my aunt would be mad at me if I did that.
Not on air. Don't do it on air.
No, in the like in the notes. Look, like we have notes or something. We'll put it in the notes.
No. No, we're not doing that. Why are I giving people this recipe?
I'm not going to give it away. I mean, it's not this recipe. This is from a bakery.
I don't care. Text me it.
I'll just make it for you sometime.
Please. Oh, God, this is so good. I mean, to describe it, it's very plain but sweet. It's very coffee cake-like. In the aspect that it's got a nice crunch on the top. But it's not as significant as coffee cake. Like, it's not any kind of crumble or crumb or anything like that. It's just... No, I guess it is kind of crumb. But it's also like a baked, crispy goodness. It's only on top. And only, like, a very... It's like a thin ice. It's like a thin ice amount of crispiness. It goes... It's very easy to get through and get to the gooey butter cake part of it, which is the name of the game here. And that's what I'm digging here.
That crispy layer on top is actually a little different from what I'm used to, because I feel like the ones that we would make at home is really just gooey on top. Like, you could maybe still throw some powdered sugar on there, because this whole top is dusted with powdered sugar, but yeah, I'm used to a cake that really is just kind of like a gooey center. Although the crispy top works. Totally works.
Tim, we split this cake in half, and I'm not even ashamed to tell you that I'm almost done with it.
You got your whole half cake? I only cut myself like a piece. I'm trying to be non-judgmental. Like, this is a safe space to snack as much as you want.
Oh, man. Thank you for that.
For you, for me. Because for any of our viewers who are snacking along at home.
Well, there's like four people in St. Louis that are probably with us right now, but...
Yeah.
I'm mad at the four of you for not telling me about this sooner. Oh, man. I know I'm not supposed to do this. But 10...
Oh, wow, you're giving this a 10. They're not even going to say ratings time. You're going straight to the number 10.
Sometimes in life, Tim, there's certainties. You know, it's kind of like if someone told you drive to Los Angeles and I'll give you $1 million. You would say, let me get my coat.
I wouldn't bring a coat to Los Angeles. It's warm there.
I'm just, it's a figure of speech, for Christ's sake. You know? Let me get my keys. Is that better? Let me get my keys. Okay. Let me tell my wife I'm on my way. It was a figure of speech, but I appreciate you sticking on the pedantrics thing. Thank you.
Yeah, from Phoenix to Los Angeles, it's hot the whole time. Especially now in the summer.
You gotta let this go. You gotta let this go. It's a metaphor.
Right.
You know,
I'm exposed now as a pedant. We gotta stick together, all men.
And I'm sure Daryl appreciates it. I'm sure Daryl appreciates it. But when I say that, I speak in certainties. I speak in, yes, there's no question about that. That's a foolish question. Even if someone wanted to bring it up as a topic, like, hey, let's say someone offered you $1 million. Yes. Like, there's a few things that's not the answer that's not going to be yes to that, right? So I can only equate it to my feelings on a gooey butter cake, this one specifically, and that is 10. 10 and yes. And yes, that's all that comes to mind is yes, I want more, and 10. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I love coffee cake. And I also love simple cakes that are, like, really good, like... Pound cake, for instance, is one of those cakes that's really hard to find a good pound cake because just by nature, pound cake isn't very good. But if I find myself a slice of pound cake that's really good, I appreciate the shit out of that because I know how hard it is to make such a plain cake that doesn't have like frosting and any kind of, you know, fireworks to it. Taste so delicious. And I am impressed with what they did with the simplicity of this cake. It's super sweet. So I think if you don't like sweet bread, sweet cake, you're not going to be as enthusiastic about it. But I really love the fact that the sweetness of it and like that top kind of crunch really just like make it not need any kind of frosting or any kind of additional fireworks. The cake is moist and delicious. The name is appropriate. It was ooey gooey, despite its simplicity, and I love it, and I want more of it, and that's why it's a 10.
Yes, I am really excited that I've been able to bring a snack that represents St. Louis so well. I think between this and the Red Hot Riplets, St. Louis is just looking like a snacking wonderland. Probably if you really went to St. Louis, you would be disappointed. You'd be like, oh, Derek and Tim made it sound like it was going to be, so much better than it is.
Sure.
St. Louis, it has its charms.
Right.
Anyway,
not
for
a destination
me though,
city.
For me though, this gooey butter cake is not gooey enough. I'm rating it at 8.5, because it's still a very good cake. I enjoyed it a lot. But I am used to this homemade style of gooey butter cake that is almost like oozing goo, like eating an unbaked cheesecake that's made of like all butter and cream cheese and sugar, just oozing all over your plate. And I'm sort of thinking back to this 4th of July weekend get together that, you know, my family had while I was back home. My uncle's girlfriend, who I was meeting for the first time, brought this gooey butter cake, and it was just a mess of goo, and it was delicious. And this is just a little too far removed from the style that I've been accustomed to, even though I still am really enjoying the gooey louie cake, and I'm still very grateful that the lady there was you know, kind enough to sell me after all the other cakes were sold out. But yeah, so even though you know, 8.5 is a that's up there, man. That's one of our top rated snacks, or one of my top rated snacks anyway, but I can't quite get as high as you did, only because my expectation was just a little different for what a gooey butter cake should be.
Your expectation is much different, and I completely understand it and appreciate the fact that you know this cake better than I do. I could only imagine it being gooier. I could only imagine it being more Cinnabon-like in the middle.
Not even Cinnabon-like, because it's not, it's...
Yeah, there's no layers to it. It's just a solid, like, sponge cake type cake in a way,
right? Really, it's this weird intersection between, like, blondie coffee cake and cheesecake, and it's hard to... Yeah, it's even hard to describe now. Now that you've just had one, like, what I'm picturing is still very different from this. But yeah, man, I would encourage our viewers, if they're curious about the gooey butter cake and can't get it, to just bake one yourself. The ingredients are really easy to find, off the shelf stuff. You need like a cake mix and some cream cheese and some extra butter and sugar, I think, and you're pretty much off to the races.
It sounds fantastic, and I know I will be trying to make one myself. I'll be trying to recreate this goodness and maybe even make it better, like you're trying to make it better. You know, like, I appreciate you wanting to emphasize that this cake, even with it being as good as it is, could be even better. That excites me. That makes me want to give it an 11. And I know that's not allowed, right? So I'll stick with my 10. And I will rate it that happily. I'm not changing it. I'm not deviating from this path. I enjoyed this cake so much that... I'm very sore at you for taking this long to even tell me about it. Like, our friendship forever affected. And you and I cut this cake like it was our wedding day. You know?
We did. It's our second, like, wedding cake cutting type ceremony that we've had.
Well, that's how we do it. That's how we do it as co-hosts.
The Dates conference room. We invited Jared along this time just so he could be our wedding photographer.
Right. Well, you need one, because last time doing it as a selfie was very awkward. Very awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, never try to selfie stick your own wedding.
It's weird.
Just bad form.
Yeah. But Jared also knows about the secret entrance to the Snacking Institute, so he officially can come to the Dates conference room, and he's allowed. I do appreciate everything that St. Louis has given us, including you, Tim. And I know you're not even from there. I know you're not even from there.
Well, you know, I have.
It's a figure of speech.
Ancestors who are from the city of St. Louis proper.
Oh, ancestors.
My mom's mom was, you know, born and raised St. Louis.
Yeah.
So that's something. I got some connection there. And I just want to say to our viewers, if you live in a state that has a cake, a city or state with a signature cake that we need to. You know, we didn't know about, that we need to get on our radar. You know, who knows how long it's going to take us to complete a 50-part series, United Cakes of America, but this is a challenge that I just, I feel even better about it now than when we started. Because cakes are great.
Cakes are great, and it's been a strong, start to this series right out of the gate between the king cake and the gooey cake. And I also encourage all of our viewers to send us all of your cakes. Let us know what your cakes are. Mail them to us. You hit us up. My DMs are open. Slide right into them. Slide your cakes right into my DMs. That's not a euphemism either. Like, I don't want a bunch of dick pics.
Slide a cake in there.
Yeah, don't slide cakes. Did you say dicks?
Yeah. No, I didn't. You said that.
Oh. Yeah. All right. I think we need, all right. Yeah. Anyway, Cakes Across America. Let's make it happen. Tim?
Yeah.
I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week. And fuck Nazis.
You know what? Fuck Nazis. And not only that, fuck Nazis, but like fuck anybody, even if they're not a Nazi, that would infringe on your snacking rights, America.
Yes.
Fuck them too.